This is the Facets of Fate podcast. Stay a while and listen.
Welcome back, everybody, to Nat's Eberron-flavored smurfscapade of dice rolling and role-playing. I am the eponymous Nat, your dungeon master, and today I'm joined by...
Kenny. I'll be playing Seltzer, the hardworking, hockey puck-shaped goblin editor of the Kornberg Chronicle.
Now, I'm Brad. And I'm playing Montgomery Fizzlewick at the Fourth.
Jeez, you sound so depressed about it. Right?
Not
you want to talk about
not a musket wielding hippo man faring
thing. We'll get there one day.
Plying through the stars.
I'll get dreams.
One day.
We're talking about Spelljammer, by the way, for those of us who don't know. It's not just Brad's persona that he really wants to
be. It is now.
I guess so.
It's my next cosplay. It's an 8-foot tall hippo man.
Halloween is in like 2 weeks.
I can't do it in 2 weeks.
I mean, you can try. It just wouldn't be good.
You can do it shittily. All right.
I am Mike. I am playing Ampersand, also known as Amp, the kindest, gentlest Warforged barbarian this side of Mornland.
Oh. This side of the mist.
This side of the horrific apocalypse world in the middle of Eberron.
And I'm Luke, and I will be playing the 8-foot-tall magical girl slime waifu.
Wow. Did we miss an episode?
Do you die? Oh, no. Transformation. Yeah. All right, so last time, Monty and Amp, you two went to go interview the runner-up of the Youth Skyblades tournament, Bod, the Warforged. And he told you guys that he wanted to compete in the tournament and hopefully get some press attention so that he could get some attention on his hometown, Vatheron. As you were interviewing him, Seltzer and Dee Dee went to the stands to see the beginning of the tournament proper, where they saw, in the crowd, a woman in a red jacket with silver trim, which you guys know to be sort of a subtle uniform of the Boromar clan. Monty and Amp rendezvoused with Seltzer and Dee Dee, and you guys decided to try to get some information out of this woman, but instead just asked her about the weather and cotton candy. So you made another plan to talk to her again, where you lured her into a bathroom, where Dee Dee helped her remove a stain. That is what you did. It's you true. Lured her into a bathroom.
It sounds way dumber when you say it like that. I mean,
sounds way more sus and inappropriate when you say it like we lured her to a bathroom where we helped her remove a stain.
I think that we were talking about like kidnapping her, and then like I like how it de-escalated. Like,
oh, you wanted to kidnap her,
and then we were like, nah, I'll just help her out. She's pretty chill.
We were like, the only information Matt gave us before this campaign started was that some. Point we would do a heist. We didn't know the heist would be of a person.
It's just called kidnapping. It's just called what it is. We have plenty of opportunities to kidnap people. There's a lot of people in this town.
There's plenty more opportunities coming up right after this ad break. But first, so Dee Dee helped her out to remove the pink liquid that Amp spilled on her in exchange for, you know, as a return the favor sort of deal. She gave her some info on the on how she and her group had rigged the Skyblades tournament, told Dee Dee who to put her money on, and also told her name, which is Euphemia. So at the end of last session, you watched as Galoris, the person that Euphemia told you to bet on, won her match pretty handily, and you saw Euphemia stand up, give a little satisfied nod, and leave the stadium. That's where we are now. You are all in the press box. The crowd is still freaking out, cheering wildly or booing or just in general. Just the energy is pretty nuts. Like, this was a quick and decisive and very impressive feat of sportsmanship, even if it wasn't like a, you know, an even match. So the people are pretty excited. You can see the other people in the press box are taking notes furiously, like, oh, what happened? What was this?
It was a Goldberg.
It was a Goldberg.
Where he just came in and speared someone.
What would you like to do?
start a chase scene.
Do you want us to roll for the history checks?
You always remind me. Yes, I do. Right before I was like, last time, I was like, remember, Mike's going to ask you if you don't, but like, get the jump on him. Yeah, go ahead and roll. Before you do anything else, roll your history checks for the session.
I gotta see which Ooh. Dice are gonna roll good for me first.
15.
Ooh, he's white. Orange dice? Halloween dice?
Halloween
the power
dice.
Of Halloween is growing strong.
19. 11 for me.
Fuck yeah, it is. I got a nat 20 on a Halloween dice. So I got a 30 again.
Okay. So Monty has a 30 for history, Amp has an 11, Seltzer has a 15, and DD has a 19.
I know which dice I'm
pretty,
today.
Pretty solid all around.
I'm hanging out with Monty today. Again.
Yeah. And
please, I need your bodyguard. Bodyguard body.
And Amp, you remembered to roll with advantage.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you guys are in this press box as, you know, your compatriots and colleagues are writing urgently in their notebooks and whatnot. What would you like to do?
Quick after. No. Everybody sees the woman leaving, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we all together?
Yeah. Oh, I thought we had all met in the press box for the
match. We're never going to leave each other again.
We're actually playing two different D&D campaigns.
I remember that now.
At the same time.
Yeah. Okay, well,
do we all want to split up and then chase her, or
to fucking God, Mike.
Or are we gonna like literally black suit government kidnap this person?
I think that we were waiting to see if she would wait if Glorious won, and now she's gonna go talk to her bosses about, you know, the match. So let's look to Ritz. Ritz,
what's up?
Collect my winnings for me.
Do I look like your bookie? I swear to God.
Yes, technically. No, yeah, it's just we gotta chase a lead, but I don't want to leave like the winnings on the books, because I'm pretty sure they're just gonna like say these are ours now.
No, yeah, I got you. Go ahead, do what you gotta do. I'll keep tab on stuff.
I put my hand on Rich's shoulder. Ritz, you helped me with snacks.
Yeah,
you're collecting my winnings.
Yeah,
I'll split it with you. You're not just a bookie to me, okay?
Really?
No.
Are we friends?
We're casual work acquaintances. Which is so much more than just somebody that I trust to put bets on for me.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. Thank you. You should probably get a move on, though.
We definitely should.
I'll get your winnings. Go, go! And she, like, kind of playfully, like, pushes all of you towards the door.
And mine too, Ritz, darling.
Yeah, yours is going to be a bit heavier, but I'll take care of it.
Thank you, Ritz.
She wipes the lipstick off of her cheek and says, "No problem."
It's very.
Oh, that was air kisses. That was.
Oh, you wouldn't dare touch Ritz in real. You have to bend down so far.
No, she's pissed.
It's a minor illusion where the kiss blows through the air onto her forehead.
Yes.
He somehow blows a heart-shaped smoke rings. Yeah, what would you like to do? Head out?
Head out? I don't want to literally follow her footsteps.
We make our way out of the arena.
You make your way. That's the only time we'll say those words in that order.
Making my way downtown.
We diligently exit.
She doesn't know who I am because we didn't meet and I wasn't, you know, like nearby or whatever. So I feel like I can follow a little bit more closely behind her than everybody else, but it's up to what everybody else wants to do. Obviously the most conspicuous, I think, are the hockey puck goblin, the 6.5 foot tall tiefling, and then
technically, I saw those two.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you still stick out like in a crowd is what so I'm saying.
I want to stay back, but I'm assuming I'd be able to see her in a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, but she's wearing a, like, the jacket is, like, a rich red color. So you can, like, if you're looking for it, you can see her, especially when you're, like, higher up. But once you guys kind of, once you walk out of the press box and start heading down the stairs, and you're, like, more on the same level of elevation as her, that's when it gets trickier to see. You can still, Amp and Didi, because you guys are so tall, you can still kind of see the top of her head. But as she gets closer to the entrance of the stadium and kind of where the, or not the, you know, like to the arena, and where she starts to meet with the traffic, just the foot traffic on the streets, that's where it gets a bit harder just to track.
All right, Monty's going to go ahead and just activate his eagle vision.
Okay.
Just highlight her in a gold aura so I can easily pick her out in a crowd.
That's eagle vision 5e. Hang on.
So.
All right. So, Monty, you want to...
I will tail her as best I can. Yeah.
I'm going to switch to make myself look like somebody else.
Okay.
Whomst.
I don't know. I feel like whenever I switch, I always make myself look like an elf person because it fits in with the size.
Okay.
You just look like the mayor. Like, who cares?
Yeah. And then I get stopped by the mayor's assistant who wants to talk to me about cotton candy. Yes.
Sir, I heard someone say the cotton candy and Star Oscar sucked butts.
Oh, yeah.
You should arrest them.
Never mind. What's that? Would love to talk about the cotton candy, but that's not important.
Yeah. So what would you... So you're tailing most closely behind the other three of you. Are you guys like just a little bit behind Monty? Or are you hanging out at the... like trying to keep your distance?
I'll be following up with Monty because now I'm disguised.
Okay. So Monty and Didi are close enough so that you guys can still, with successful, I guess that would be, let's see, probably, I guess, investigation or perception, I'll let you choose, to follow this woman.
Sure.
Yeah. To still be able to track her in this crowd.
Yeah, I guess it's not quite, nature and survival doesn't really, feel, because tracking would be survival, but that feels a little weird to just be like, I follow her.
Yeah, because I guess it's like urban survival, but it's different. I'll say, plus I know that you guys have some pretty good investigation and perception. I feel like that makes more sense here, so.
My investigation is Dece, so.
I rolled 7.
You rolled 7? Okay.
Total.
Oh, God.
Ooh, right. I rolled really investigation. Well. Well, the only way I would get a 7 if I rolled a nat 1, so... I didn't. I got a 17.
All right, yeah. So...
It looks like a 1 for a second. I'm like, I don't know.
So you guys, you make your way to the... Fuck.
Wow. Do we make our way to?
Make your way to the fuck.
Oh, damn.
Monty's like, whoa!
This changed.
Where am I?
You're killing Mike. You're literally killing Mike.
He's dead. GG.
Die taking meds at a D&D session. Shoot. Come on.
I got it.
You're not like fighting a bear or something. I don't know.
It might help you guys.
How do I roll another me?
Players, it's a little harder.
Can your computer run Spore?
Well,
because that's our next step after this. We come back as a weird creature from Spore. No religion wants you to know, but
okay. So, Didi, you lose track as you're casting your disguise person or disguise self spell. You have to lose your concentration for a moment to cast a spell. When you look back up, you can't see Euphemia's head anymore. You can't follow her. But Monty can, and you just follow this little gnome in front of you as you rush down the stairs of these bleachers and you head towards the entrance. And Monty, Quiva tries to stop you as you head out. Oh, Monty, did you get a chance to try the cotton candy?
Is that really a cantrip? No way.
Lie?
I mean, lying? I feel like that's...
I don't think you have to be a
cantrip. I love that this is the first time that I think about using this spell in this way, because I'd love to have this conversation with Quiva, but I don't think that... I don't even think words really would properly describe like my thoughts and feelings about eating the cotton candy. I'm sure I enjoyed it. Instead, I see her wordlessly like make eye contact, and I wordlessly cast the encode thoughts cantrip.
Such like a weird fucking thing.
I like how Luke is like, yes, I know what's happening here, and nobody else knows. I put my finger to my forehead, and when you cast encoded thoughts, you pull an idea, thought, or message out of your brain into a like physical, tangible, like ribbon of light.
Okay.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna put my thoughts and feelings that I have on the cotton candy into this encode thoughts ribbon.
And what are those thoughts and feelings?
I enjoyed it. That everybody else who doesn't like it is wrong. Especially, assholes like Euphemia, but I leave that part out. And I just give the ribbon to her. I'm just like, just slap this on your forehead.
And I
leave.
She's like, she stares after you, holding this ribbon of cotton candy based joy as you vanish into the crowd with Dee Dee right behind you. Seltzer and Amp, what are you guys doing?
I'm following her from a further distance, trying to keep an eye on her without looking suspicious.
Okay. Seltzer?
Yeah, I'm gonna try the same.
Okay. As you guys, so you see Monty and Dee Dee are just reaching kind of like the exit of where the stands begin and where the stands end and where the streets begin. And you watch as Amp, you can see this very clearly, Euphemia is she makes a left turn and you can no longer see her around this corner. And as Monty and Dee Dee go to turn around the same corner, Monty, make me a dex save.
Dexterity saving throw.
Yes.
I'm average at those. Yeah, plus one. Cool, that's a 17.
17, yeah. You, from the corner of your eye, you sense like movement that's just a little bit too close to where you are, even for this crowd that you're walking into. Mm. And you jump back just in time as a halfling kid in a red coat pushes past you, says, "Hey, move it!" And he goes down to the right, away from the direction that you saw Euphemia go.
That's interesting. Looks like she got rid of her cloak. I still know what she looks like, though, right?
The Euphemia?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you look, you can see like the red and silver, you can see like the top of her head, kind of, as she's walking down the street. She's not like in a rush or anything, but she is, you know, heading down. You can see that she's still wearing her coat.
Oh.
And this halfling kid was also wearing a red silver coat.
That's very interesting.
Do we see see this happen? Like see Monty get brushed aside and then
so you
that interaction?
Yeah, you can't really see in too much detail. You kind of just see like, because they're both like small, but you do see like a flash of red and Monty like jump back.
You know, for somebody, a DM who doesn't want us to keep splitting up the party. Just putting that out there.
I'm just wondering if you know.
Hilar adds to the bait.
I try to...
Just testing our determination.
At least with Monty, I don't know what anybody else is doing, but Monty like notes that. One, as a halfling kid, that's weird to be like a part of the Boromar clan, if that is indeed what he is. I'd like to try and like, I'm going to keep following Euphemia, but I want to try and study this kid's like face, like his, you know, the the features to try and, you know, remember that for later.
Yeah.
To try and recognize that kid if, you know, he ever isn't wearing his cloak or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a weird thing for a kid to be wearing.
Okay.
And code thoughts again.
You can code thoughts
I'm
again.
Kidding, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'll have you just like roll a just like a raw intelligence check to see if you can do that.
Actually, I wonder if encode thoughts would work that way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you pull a memory or idea, so it's just the memory of his face. Can I just encode thoughts again?
Yeah, you pull out another. So Ritz is holding this ribbon, and she's about, as she like slams it to
Cuiva.
Her forehead. Cuiva. I'm
okay.
So sorry.
I'm just making sure I don't hand it off to Ritz, of all people. Like, what is she? Why do I give a fuck about her?
Ritz is standing in line to collect your winnings. She's like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, so Cuiva is standing at the like entrance table, and just as she like slams this ribbon to her forehead, as you instructed,
mm-hmm.
it disappears. It like dissipates into the ether,
mm-hmm.
and she just smacks herself in the face for no reason. She's like, what the fuck is that?
That's fine.
And you pull out a new thought, which yep. is this child's
that's
face.
Fine. We'll talk about cotton candy later. That's fine. Yeah. I take this ribbon. I'm just like, that one's more important. I stick that in my little like, you know, coat pocket.
All right.
So okay. She makes her way through the crowd. We're not losing sight of her yet.
Yeah. You can still see the back of her head, and like the silver and red collar stands out among the crowd. She sort of stops for a moment at an intersection, thinks for a second, and then she continues on her way, and you see her duck into the captain's quarters bar.
Hey, that's our bar.
That is your bar.
That's where we went to.
8. How busy would the captain's quarters bar be right now?
It is, so at this time it's like just before 11 a.m., places happen. There are just, it is jam-packed on this downstairs level. As you guys know, there's, you know, it's a two-level bar. Mostly, like, locals are gonna go upstairs, because Rupert, the dude who runs the bar, he knows, you know, Starlasker's a fairly big town, but it's small enough so that he knows his regulars. Which means that if you're not a regular, you're not gonna get upstairs, probably. So she's hanging out downstairs. She goes up right up to the bar, sort of not so subtly elbows her way through the crowd of people to get up there. And you see her order. You can't hear exactly what she orders, but you do see her order a drink.
I'm impressed. Throwing elbows in a crowded sports bar as a skinny half-elf woman. That's gutsy.
And as you watch her do this, you... Amp and Seltzer, the two of you have managed to get up close enough behind Monty and Dee Dee so that you can see, you can't like see into the bar yet, but you can see that Monty and Dee Dee have stopped like outside the bar.
I guess since she has entered into a building, yeah, if it makes it easier for them to notice us, you know, I'll wave them in and wait for them.
Okay.
I walk in.
Yeah.
I know this place.
Dee Dee strides in.
Gingerly, casually walk into the bar. As best as giant robot can.
Gingerly, as you stomp your way and scratch up the floor. Mm-hmm. The landing.
I don't want to make my way
in. Yeah, it's like I said, it's jam-packed.
This campaign is cursed.
What's that?
The campaign is cursed.
So you guys see she gets like a why am I spacing on the name of it? Just a beer
pitcher?
Thing.
Stein?
Yeah, she gets a stein of beer. Thank you. Yeah. I feel fucking stupid right now. She gets a stein of beer handed to her, gives the bartender a little nod, and then she goes to sit at one of the tables towards the back, sort of like adjacent to the where the staircase is that, you know, leads to the upstairs and to the deck. And she is sitting there by herself. What would you guys like to do?
I'm probably gonna end up burning my second my last second level spell slot on the detect thoughts eventually. I don't want to do it right away though, because it only lasts for a minute.
Okay.
I guess. I mean, I'm not a local, so I probably won't make it up to the top, but I probably don't know that. I want to see how well Monty does trying to elbow his way up to the bar to order a drink.
Yeah, why don't you just make like a strength check just to see if you can push the crowd aside.
A pure
strength.
Strength check. Oh, I don't have athletics, so it doesn't matter. You're
just gonna get crushed, like between two people.
I've got a minus two, I'll be fine.
Roll that nat 20.
Nat 20.
You know what, the Halloween dice has been doing good for me, so let's just see. I got a respectable 12.
Yeah. With a 12, you are able to, you get lucky and you hit a guy like kind of, it's like this burly, like salt and pepper bearded, like human dude. And you just like knock your elbow right into his, like the back of his knee.
Yes.
So he collapses. Oh, what was that? But before he's, like by the time that he looks back at you, you've already like, you've gotten up to the bar.
I've ducked in between two other people's like legs and I'm out of sight.
Mm-hmm. When he fell, he fell toward the one side where you hit his knee, mm-hmm. and then you were able to get around the other side.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're at the bar, Dee Dee right behind you, and Amp and Seltzer, you guys are in here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rupert doesn't recognize you, Monty, but he does recognize Amp and Seltzer. Dee Dee is disguised, and he goes, "What can I get for you?"
Just, you know, for me and the guy here, the usual.
Just get me a seltzer.
Okay.
You know, it's a whiskey and coffee.
Did you care for a LaCroix?
No.
Just making a joke about seltzer's name.
I got the joke.
Not talking in character, god damn it. Do I just sound like Monty to everybody here? Real talk.
Everyone's really quiet.
I need to know so I can switch up his voice instantly. Because I don't like being confused for Monty when I'm not talking in character. I don't want my shenanigans to be gamified.
That's all we do here, man. That's why we think that Dee Dee is just drawing up slimes with a napkin.
How do you know that Dee Dee isn't secretly a slime?
Been a slime this whole time.
I guess we wouldn't know.
Dee Dee's the big bad. She's just an 8 foot tall slime girl.
All right, we lose. I'm just gonna give up.
Slime waifu.
Like, why would I try and fight that?
Rupert gets you the usual. Like, Seltzer, you don't normally. Well, I guess you're normally drinking before.
Yeah.
Before lunch, yeah. But Imp. You want something today, buddy?
No, I'm good. Just here with the boss.
Okay.
Yeah, just a pickle shot. Two pickle shots.
Yeah. He pours you two pickle shots.
Yeah.
He gags a little when he does it, but...
He just has it for me. It's like... God, there's a little, like, sign, like, a little goblin. One of the goblins, I guess.
Pickle shots are really nice.
You imparting your own bias against pickle shots onto Rupert here, Nat?
Oh, no. Nat loves pickle shots, actually.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I would be surprised.
Yeah, we've done quite a few.
Yeah, so as you guys are waiting on your drinks, you can just hear, like, general chatter. It sounds like the patrons of the bar have been keeping an eye on the jousts, and if they may have been at the docks earlier, or just been watching, but now they're taking a break. Or might be like about to head out on their way. Some of them are trying to drink off the pain of having lost a bet or two. One person goes, "Ah, I had my money on that Flavis, but tragedy, what happened to him, huh?" And he looks at your face, Monty, which is still painted with just FLA.
Yep.
He goes, "You a Flavis fan, buddy?"
"Well, I was, but Throwing that from the chat, am I right, boys?
I don't like, get what? That reference.
Pour one out for the homies.
Oh, true. And this dude, he picks up his still half full beer stein, and he just tilts it back into his mouth, and he goes, pour one out right down the gullet, right?
I do so as well.
You drink the whole?
The whole at White Claw.
Yep. Are there, like, for lack of a better term, like, either radios or television screens, like, showing the actual joust, or is it basically, like, the roar of the crowd, and then they kind of, like, know by that?
Oh, yeah, it's the... Go, what was that?
I liked the idea of, like, halflings or gnomes or people watching, like, the town crier, like, boy, like, newsies, just, like, screaming in the streets, like, results of the match.
No, it's all an elaborate one of those, like, hand puppet shows.
That's worse.
There's a hoardy so witch in the corner.
I love that, though.
Who's just, like, sock puppets enacting
so
jousts. So she's, like, punching her own...
I like the fact that just big eyes.
They squeak. I want to try to keep an eye on Euphemia.
Okay.
Without her knowing I'm keeping an eye on her.
Just take one off. Just take one on.
Yeah.
Do I have eyes or is it just...
You have like lenses.
That's up to you.
Is that a spell in D&D? I know you can do like the one where you...
He's a robot. So.
Well, I mean, but I know you can do the spell, but like, is there like the Eye of Kilrog in D&D?
I think mostly it's like the find familiar stuff or like warlock
there's like
stuff.
Ways
just be like,
to
I'm gonna look through this other like creature's eyeballs.
You could do a scry, which is usually what you do. There's also like another. There's like another one that's like scry. It's like a scry light.
Because I know you have the one where you can do alarm, where you like set up something.
Yeah, but alarm's just blocked.
Yeah. But Amp, you don't have any magic, do you?
No.
Okay, yeah. Just go ahead and make, like, a... I guess stealth check to see if you can watch her without her watching you.
13.
13? That's not gonna cut it. She makes eye contact with you as you kind of, like, try to glance over your shoulder really slyly. And she gives you a sub nod.
Puts a newspaper with eye holes.
It's a copy of the Big Black Cockatrice.
Oh no.
No, it's gonna be our newspaper with like an amp space on the other side.
Like, your friendly printer.
Yeah, local printing press wins the war.
It's straight out of like Naked Beyond or something like
that. Local printing press, hide and seek champion.
I like that one the best. I like that title the best. That's a good visual.
Yeah, that's exactly the newspaper that she holds up. But it's from the Big Black Cockatrice. But it does say local printing press. Secretly. In crowd. I don't fucking know. Anyway, yeah, she holds it up and she can just like see it through it for sure. And you see her.
Great. I'm at a bar where I already dumped water in. Beer on to somebody, so that's great.
Well, using you as a distraction, at least, Monty will crawl through the crowd as stealthily as he can.
Yeah.
You know, like, you post up on, you know, some kind of... I assume he can't get a fucking table, but, like, you know, like a bar stool, or, like, if he has to, like, awkwardly lean against the wall or whatever, just so that he can, like, see her, like, between people.
Yeah.
Using Amp as a distraction, I will come up and order a drink.
Yeah, so you order a drink, like, Rupert already knows what you want, he's got it on hand
well,
for you.
I'm disguised, but I walk up,
oh, that's
and
right,
I just,
yeah.
Like, tap my face real quick, and it switches back to my face, and I'm like,
the usual.
He's like, oh, this again.
It might give you away, I don't think anybody else in this town drinks Cosmos.
But okay, so
at least not to that extent.
Monty, as you are crawling through this crowd, go ahead and make either a stealth or a
analytics.
I guess stealth if you want to not be seen. Just like dex save or raw dex save if you want to just get through as like smoothly as possible.
Definitely stealth for sure.
Okay.
Only a +1, but you know, 16.
Yeah. So you you do that. You crawl, you get down, like, oh, I dropped my, and like, you don't even finish the sentence. You get down on the ground, you just start like literally crawling towards, like, towards the back of the pub.
Okay.
Yeah, and you make it back there. When you glance up, you see that she's still got her eyes on Amp through the newspaper.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a post up here.
Okay.
For now.
Amp, you see her, you know, she's still kind of watching you. She's like, it's weird that this dude spilled whatever on me and then now all of a sudden he's here. But after a minute, you can tell she kind of, like, she still kind of shoots a glance at you every once in a while, but she does put the newspaper down. She kind of starts, like, eyeing the crowd. And before too long, you do see somebody take a seat at the table right next to her, like, at the same table. And you see them shake hands, and they start talking to each other in low voices. This person is a, it's another halfling. He's probably like middle aged. So for halflings live to what, like 120
half
or so?
Elf or halfling?
Halfling.
So Euphemia is a halfling?
No, Euphemia is a half elf. This guy's a halfling.
Oh.
This guy's a hobbit.
You said another halfling, and I'm just like, how many halflings do we know right now?
Well, you just ran into the other halfling.
Oh, the, okay. The
so
kid.
To yeah. distinguish. I guess.
A different halfling from the halfling kid before.
Yes, correct. This dude is like middle-aged.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a handlebar mustache. And he's not wearing a red and silver jacket, but he does sit next to TV and he starts speaking in low voices.
Would Monty be able to hear the conversation? He is in somewhat proximity to them compared to everybody else.
Yeah, so roll, because it's so crowded, because it's definitely noisy in here, I'll say roll perception with disadvantage.
I am actively trying to listen to their voices.
Mm-hmm.
Plus two. Oh, I didn't.
What'd you get?
A five.
Yep, that you try to yep. listen, but really all that you're getting is, it's practically radio static. Like, it's just very, very jumbled, very loud.
It's just that puppet show.
The puppet show. The damn witch in the corner with her puppets.
Monty rolls his eyes and just says, under his breath, damn these gnomish ears. And I cast Detect Thoughts.
Who are you casting Detect Thoughts on?
When you cast Detect Thoughts, it's just on you, and you change the target. But for now, I am trying to detect the surface thoughts of Euphemia.
Okay. So at a surface level, you know, they're going back and forth. Euphemia seems sat, like, you know, she's definitely, you're getting like good vibes. Like, she is happy about how something went.
Mm-hmm.
Probably assume, you know, how Galoris won her match from the events from before.
Yeah.
But you can sense like an underlying tension as she's talking to this person.
Like, she's nervous to be like talking to him. Like, he makes her nervous.
Yeah, almost like fear.
Interesting. So I have a question about how you want to rule on Detect Thoughts with the probing, like, deeper stuff. You, like, can fully, like, detect everything rather than just, like, surface emotions and things like that.
Yeah.
Under the wording for Detect Thoughts, whether you succeed or fail on the, you know, the save, or they succeed on their saving throw or whatever, either way, the target knows that you are probing into its mind. And unless you shift your attention to another creature's thoughts, the creature can use its action on its turn to intelligence check, you know, try and, like, end the detect thoughts.
Okay.
I'm curious how you feel about when it says it knows that you are probing its thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If I am hidden from her, if she just, like, it, like, pings in her mind and she, like, knows exactly where I'm at and she can feel me probing into her mind, or if it's more just, like, she knows that something is trying to do mind stuff to her and she can attempt to fend it off.
Yeah, so I will say that she can't tell, like, oh, it's Monty. She can tell that it is, like, there is a presence probing in, but not that it's not the direction or anything that it's coming from.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to go ahead and try to dig deeper?
I'm going to make eyes with everybody else to see what other people are attempting to do in this situation, as we all assume see somebody else sit at the table.
Yeah, it's not too hard to see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I guess it makes sense, you know, seniority message Seltzer. Boss, what do you think about this dude? What do you want to do?
Just watch him. If you can hear what they're saying, hear what they're saying. You got that detect thoughts, right?
Such a pointed meta question.
Yes. I mean, as I like count the seconds away as it's timing down, you know, it only lasts for a minute. I'm like, yeah, you got it. Yeah. Doing my best.
All right, cool. Yeah, we'll watch him in mundane terms if we can't. Let me know if you need more help, and we can ask Dee Dee if she can get involved.
Hey, message Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you want to get involved?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you feel about...
Do you have a plan now, or do you want me to be plan B?
Plan A.
I'm just trying to get a vibe for what... She seems nervous to be talking to this dude. Like, she's afraid of them, but clearly respects and is happy about what happens with Galoris' match. That's all I'm getting, though.
Give me a moment, darling. As I walk back to the restroom and come out as Dee Dee.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you just, where do you go from the bathroom?
I basically walk to a not crowded place and take my disguise off, and then...
Okay, but after that, after you've taken your disguise down?
I am going to the stage.
To the stage.
Oh.
So there's not a stage in the captain's quarters.
Coyotes? Yeah, I'm just going to say, yes. Just coyote ugly it.
Yeah. However...
Rupert knows you, probably bringing money for him.
Yeah. I'm going to, like, at first, I'm going to, like... sit on the bar, like, legs crossed as I, like, break out my instruments.
All right.
How many instruments?
All of them.
Plural?
I have, like, four on me.
What have you got?
I like to think it's, like, Bob Dylan status, where I have, like, a little harmonica deal. So I have, like, my... Because I believe I know I have a lute. I have a flute. I also have... I guess just a lute and a flute. But it's, like, Bob Dylan status, where I can play both at the...
Oh, sure.
At the same time.
Yeah.
You have like a little like a rig to hold the flute up to your mouth while you're strumming the lute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead and describe for me. I mean, when you jump up on this bar and cross your legs, like the people who are sitting there, they're like, "Hey, what the?" And then they like they're like, "What is this creature? This musically inclined devil lady who just hopped up and knocked my drink over?" And they're almost they're like too stunned to even react. What are you doing up on this bar?
I start playing, and it's a wonderful ballad about Galoris winning the tournament, but also highly embellished. So it's just like, this is the story of Galoris, babe.
Like, nobody knew who Galoris was, but after today...
We'll break out my Bob Dylan with my harmonica rig.
Yeah. It's okay. Very good. Monty, are you still getting like tech thoughts as this is happening?
However long you, again, it's a minute, so I mean, I'd like to hope that Dee Dee would just Bugs Bunny her in disguise self to like do it quickly, knowing that my timer is running low. So.
I only need to play for 8 minutes.
Okay, so I'll say that Monty, your detect thoughts has another 30 seconds on it at the moment that Dee Dee jumps onto the bar. So you are getting when Dee Dee starts playing and you know the crowd in like a stunned way, like they quiet down as they're listening to this song about Galoris, and you hear or you get like pings from Euphemia as she's watching this. At first it's just surprise, much like everybody else. And you feel that surprise morph into, oh shit. Oh God, oh no. What is she doing? Oh no.
More dread. You know what, as soon as I feel more dread enter into her mind that's separate from just the person that she's talking to, I I'll risk it all. I'll go ahead and try and probe deeper into her thoughts.
Okay.
So what she needs to do is make a
because you were DD when you were in the restroom.
Wisdom saving throw.
A wisdom saving throw.
My DC is where are you? It's a 14. So not super high. We are only level 3 characters. And if she succeeds, I don't get to probe deeper. And then we can intelligence, you know, mind me to like end the detect thoughts.
All right. So I'm gonna roll in front of the table just for fun. You got
the box of doom.
The screen. Yeah. As boxes do. So she has a +2 to wisdom. So
oh, okay.
She failed that.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she does that mean that she doesn't detect you, or is she just not able to, like, push you out?
It means that I get to probe deeper into her thoughts, and then whatever information you want to give me upon doing that, you can, and then she will notice that somebody is trying to do mind stuff.
Yeah, so I'll say that with that, you basically get access to, like, her internal monologue. So you,
awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, so she senses that something is going on mentally, but she's going, oh, God, if Ellis realizes what I told Dee Dee about Galoris? Oh, I'm dead. I'm more than dead.
I heard the name Ellis.
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to confirm that. That's what I heard.
And then she goes, oh my God. Is he in here right now? Is he reading my mind again? Oh my God, Ellis, I am so sorry. I am, oh God. Okay. And that's where your 30 seconds is cut out. Say.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we don't even need to do a contest. The spell just ends.
Yep.
I'm about on the third harmonica solo.
You're doing that thing where you, like, flap your hand against the harmonica. Yeah. Okay, like, yeah, okay. So Monty, yeah, you got the name Ellis. And okay.
I got some information here mm-hmm. on this one. Okay. All right.
Right.
Does her face look different after Dee Dee's performance started performing?
She looks a little paler than she did before. Like, she's her expression is the same.
Okay.
Like that same bored expression that you saw back at the back in the stands. But yeah, it looks like some of the color is drained from her face.
Okay.
What would you guys like to do?
God, the tech thoughts is always like probing deeper is such a nervous thing for me to do. I'm just like, fuck, if it goes sideways, like the situation really goes sideways. So I feel like that was the best case scenario.
I can't tell what she's thinking, obviously.
No.
But she doesn't look, I don't know. I'm a robot. I don't know emotions that
I don't know the people.
But I'm going to just stay at the bar, keep an eye on her, sort of.
Okay. Dee Dee, why don't you go ahead and roll a performance check just to see how the crowd reacts to your song and dance.
No, really? God.
What'd you get?
10.
10?
With your +8.
I rolled a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a mixed reaction. Some of these people are like, you know, they're in a good mood. They're in high spirits. So they kind of like raise their glasses to you and go, hey, like kind of half-heartedly. Some people lost a lot of money today. They are not happy about whatever the hell this is.
Make an enemy.
Make a dex check to see if you can dodge a beer can thrown at you.
Dexterity saving throws. I think 3 out of the 4 of us are at least
18.
18, yeah, you duck.
I like to think I just catch it. I'm like,
harmonica solo.
Guzzle it down in the harmonica solo.
Yeah, the guy who threw it, you can see he's like, you know, kind of in the middle of the crowd and he looks pissed that you caught it. And even more pissed when you start to drink it. But you hear...
I'm going to walk over to the guy.
You walk over to that dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, what would you like to do to him?
No, I'm...
What are you going to do to him?
While I'm seeing, I am casting Vicious Mockery.
Okay.
From up on stage, I am going to just, like, lay into him.
Go nuts. This dude is...
Do I recognize him at all, or...?
You may have, like, seen him around town once or twice. You think he's, like, a like not necessarily like a local, but he maybe passes through fairly often. Yeah, he's got like a very round nose, like looks like a tomato nose. It's bright red. And he looks like he's, you know, from his complexion, he kind of probably drunk, a little bit drunk right now. He has jet black hair and a pot belly.
We just found our BBG. Human?
You sure did.
This guy's the most sus in this whole room.
I'm gonna go with a throwing arm like that. It's almost as good of a throw as Adelaide did today in the Skyblades tournament. As I chug the beer and like flick the can back at him,
they're like, "Boo! Adelaide hasn't competed yet. She could win."
Sorry, who did she joust against?
Some dude named Wyatt.
Wyatt
is who Galoris jousted.
Yeah, who Galoris? Yeah,
and Wyatt's from Star Lasker.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna.
So you're just gonna trash on the local kid.
You say that about the local
kid. Actually, no. You know, I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna change it because I'm gonna say with a throw like that, it's easy to see how you can throw away all your money betting on the wrong champion. As I like flick the can back to him.
That's better like that.
So, you watch his like. A vein in his neck, like.
Well, obviously he takes 1d4 psychic damage.
Yeah, he sure does. does he roll that or do you?
I do, and he takes 4 Please. Psychic damage.
Yeah, he's a civilian, so he doesn't have any like. He just passes out.
Did you say 4?
Yeah.
If he's a commoner, yeah, he's just unconscious, dog. He's making death saving throws.
Good luck, throw a beer to get him.
Everybody watches this happen. Everybody in this bar, and they're all like, "Oh!" And the cheering stops.
Oh shit! Like, oh,
fuck. Okay.
Monty is keeping an eye on Euphemia and her companion throughout all this, because I assume they're gonna do their own thing separate from whatever this commotion is.
Yeah. So.
But I didn't want to interrupt Seltzer. I just want to be very clear about what Monty was doing prior to.
I just saw Didi like decked at like a nice bar.
It's not that nice.
It's not the one that you see people knocked out at.
It's historians.
At least it was self-defense, I say, as I continue my song. He's reversed.
It was self-defense.
It's better than starting a bar brawl. At least you used magic, you know, like that's cool, at least.
They don't, like, yeah, like, people who aren't super familiar with magic, they don't know what happened. They just know that their friend got knocked to the point of just passing out. Yeah. Okay, Seltzer, what are you up to?
Well, I'm seeing if anybody's going to draw daggers.
They're more like, they're just kind of, they're not super violent. Like, you know, the one dude threw the beer can, and, like, his pals watched him just collapse to the floor, and they're kind of more in, like, oh shit.
I like to think that the empty beer can that I like flicked back at him just like hit him on the forehead and he collapsed.
Sure, I'll let you do that.
Hey, Barkeep, could you grab a round for them and then see if they want to go out and enjoy? I'll grab them, but just grab a round for them and let's just make sure they get out.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
Yeah, sounds good.
The guy, Rupert calls him over, he goes, "To the fine fellows in the middle. Can I offer you a round on the house to make up for this intrusion?" And he looks at Dee Dee and he gives her a wink.
A wink back.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought he was about to get viciously caught.
He got fighting. Oh, God.
No, he's seen this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't interrupt the show.
Oh, man.
The show must go on.
Okay. So Monty, as Rupert's kind of helping to guide these people out of the bar, and Dee Dee's continuing up on the stage, you see that Galoris, you see that Euphemia, though significantly more pale, leans back in, and she and this halfling next to her start talking again, but still in quiet voices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my detect thoughts are done.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't hear them over the crowd, then mostly I guess I'm just going to try and keep an eye on them. And if one or the other leaves, then determining who I'm going to tail after. Because I assume one of them, they're going to leave separately, is my guess.
Yeah. So, what was that, Mike?
Oh, sorry. They arrive separately, so they'll leave separately.
Yeah. So, as you watch, you know, they talk a little bit more, and then you see them shake hands again. And then Euphemia stands up and weaves through the crowd, gets out of the bar.
Before she does that, I finished my performance. And both she and her friend need to make a wisdom saving throw. Okay. She has advantage because it is charmed. DC 14.
DC 14.
I'm excited for this. Whoop. You charmed the old man.
DC 14, they both fail.
They both fail.
Woo!
Great.
Perfect. That's what I want.
What's going on?
I want them to both just wait for me in separate spots right outside while I come to interrogate them.
Yeah, so they can you like communicate that telepathically, or are they just like entranced by you?
They are, so I guess it follows the rules for charmed. They're charmed by me for 1 hour.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever actually, we did this like session one.
Yeah, I've charmed people again, before, so, but.
Okay, yeah. So they, as they are starting to walk out of the bar, or as you see Euphemia start to walk out of the bar, her friend is still sitting at the bar table in the back. And as you finish your performance and send the, is it like a spell or anything like that? Or is it just like,
it just happens.
Okay. So yeah.
It's the worst part. And they don't realize that I do it.
Yeah.
That's the best part of this trait.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so, that's my like super bard ability.
Under charmed, there are two bullet points. One, which is probably the best one here, is the charmed creature can't attack the charmer or target the charmer with harmful abilities or magical effects. And then two, the charmer, DD, has advantage on any ability check to interact socially with the creature.
Awesome.
So it's not like,
oh, I don't mind.
You can't compulsory control them, like
but
control
I
them.
Do know.
Yeah, but you can be like, yo, like let's talk. We're friends, and they'll be like, sure, because like you're my best friend right now.
Well, as she's walking out the door, because the other guy hasn't left, I'm gonna follow her.
You're gonna follow
because
her
because we're best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have them both charmed.
Yes.
But they don't. He's just gonna sit. Do you like? Go to him and tell him to stay put beforehand, or are you just gonna go right after Euphemia?
I'll say I'll be right back for my encore.
Okay.
As I hop off the stage to go for Euphemia.
Yeah, you see like a sickly sweet grin spread across this guy's face. Like, oh, great.
I don't like that.
He's charmed. He looks weird. I don't know.
Sickly sweet grin.
Sickly sweet.
There's a lot of references to candy. And sugar and just sweets in general, like more than you may have picked up on in this campaign.
That's true.
Anyway, so Dee Dee follows Euphemia out of the bar. So Dee Dee, you watch as Euphemia turns around as she's like ready to leave, and you finish your performance, and she turns around, and she is utterly charmed. You see her pupils are dilated, and she's just like,
oh. I will go up to like next to her at the bar, and I will order another round.
Okay. It's 11 a.m.
Turn and look at her and go, oh, Euphemia, was it?
Yes, it was.
Well, so good to see you again, as I do like the whole intro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you too, Dee Dee. Oh, goodness, what a performance.
I really must thank you, you know. You had such a wonderful piece of advice for me on the show. However, did you know?
Oh, goodness, well, I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but...
But...
You see, my associates and I, we have a bit of a deal going with the folks that Galoris is supposed to go up against.
Really? I always thought that there was something shady going on with the tournaments.
Every year, darling.
Every year, you say? Wow, I must be entitled to financial compensation then.
You start like counting, like I lost this much last year. Yeah, she just kind of like smiles dopily and she goes, "Yeah, it's you know, it's a really easy way to win some quick cash."
Obviously, I won quite a pile for myself.
It's a bigger operation than you would think, though.
I'll be with games this big, of course. I'm going to. Is there any way that maybe I could get in on that? I'm tired of losing money, you see, darling.
For you? Of course. Of course. Allow me to introduce you to my associate.
Hmm.
Oh. And she takes you by the hand and leads you back to the bar table where this mustachioed halfling was sitting. And she goes, Ellis, I would be honored to introduce you to Dee Dee DeVille. And the man waggles his eyebrows at you and goes, DeVille, I've heard of you, of your column.
Oh, I'm glad to have another fan.
He puts out his hand to shake, and as you're shaking...
I give him my hand for him to kiss.
He does. He gives it a big old smooch.
It's gross.
Kiss right on the big faux rhinestone jewelry.
Yeah, he kisses your ring with
costume jewelry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a warm gemstone.
Oh, no.
It's cubic zirconium.
What color does a mood ring turn when somebody's horny? Because
it turns that red. So it's a nice, like, dark blue black, and then he smooches it, and just a hot pink in the shape of his lips.
As this is going on, what are the rest of you doing?
I mean, I'm
just watching in awe.
Monty's watching still, but uncomfortably now.
The seltzer is making sure like everything is going sort of according to plan. It kind of feels like he's back at his kid's nursery, making sure that like the kindergartners aren't fighting one another.
You're like counting, like, are they all still here?
Yeah, exactly.
Goblin fights are very lucrative. Goblin baby fights even more lucrative.
Those are down in the basement.
You'd be amazed at how much money someone would put on a baby goblin.
The litters are usually too big. You gotta fill it.
There's too many mouths to feed. You gotta weed them out somehow.
Yeah, so this man smooches your rhinestone ring and says, "Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. Ellis Barmar."
Ellis Barmar, pleasure to meet you as well.
I'm sorry.
What?
Monty's like, what the fuck? Like furiously scribbling in his spell book.
Crossing out all the good spells to fill up the pages.
Yeah, I'm just like, holy shit, this information is so...
Like, I don't fucking know the tech thoughts anymore.
The juicy goss! My god.
What can I... This is an absolute pleasure to meet you. I read your column all the time.
Oh, really?
I do.
It took forever.
Maybe I've replied to a letter or two of yours, I say.
Oh. I've never sent a letter as much. I do enjoy reading about the troubles of others. It does bring a spark of joy to my heart.
Gross.
Jesus.
Fucking ass.
Oh, man. That's a dark dude.
Wow. You don't just lead with that.
Or maybe he's so fucking messed up that that's the least troubling thing about it.
Maybe that was a joke.
Yeah, something that the three of you can see from like your different positions in this bar is these guys, like these Euphemia and Ellis, like their eyes are just like they're blinking a couple too many times, like super dilated pupils, like they are, something is wrong.
What,
they're just saying any thought that comes to them.
Are they talking loud enough that Monty can't hear them? This part of the conversation?
I'll say that with the crowd clearing out to the extent that it did, like the Rupert had kicked out like five people just now, or like escorted them out. So I'll let you do another perception check to see if you can hear now. How's that?
That's a 16.
16? Yeah, you can hear them this time.
Okay.
It's hard. You have to focus, but you can hear them.
Whatever, like, important bits that I am getting out of the conversation, I will send as, like, shorthand messages to these two. Like, this is Ellis Barmar.
Perfect.
He's gross.
He's a little licky.
He's a little bit of a psychopath.
I want to tell him I lean in close to him and I whisper, mm-hmm. Like in his ear, and I'm going to say, I was just telling Euphemia, such a wonderful job you did fixing the fights. It looked so realistic. Authentic.
Well, you see, we've been in this business for quite a long time, so we've gotten quite good at what we do.
I'll say, I was highly convinced. I was just happy I managed to place my bets beforehand.
He raises his eyebrows and he says, I see you bet on the winners then.
Oh, obviously. I'm sorry, I'm not a loser here.
Of course. You placed a fair amount of money on Galoris then.
Oh, nothing much. Just enough to, for the upkeep.
You see his eyes like flicker over to Euphemia and back again to you. It's quick. It happens like almost in an instant.
But I was saying, it's such a lovely job. I was wondering, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I'm so very tired of losing money on these bets. I was hoping that you might have a role in your organization for me.
In the organization?
Yes, of course.
This is his last name. He has nothing to do. It's like someone got named like John Cripps.
Oh, no. Ellis waggles his eyebrows at you and goes, you see, we primarily operate out of Shar, and there's not much that we have going on in Star Alaska other than the occasional sporting event, but perhaps I could get you involved on a lower scale if you could do something for me.
What did you have in mind?
We're trying to. he looks down.
What position?
No weird sex stuff.
No weird sex stuff.
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. Nobody had to reference that at all. That's on y'all.
So he takes a moment, he thinks about it, and he says, well, I have an associate arriving this evening, but I had dinner planned, you see. I would rather not greet her. If you wouldn't mind escorting her to her hotel, that would be taking a load off of my plate, and perhaps I can give you a few more tips on where to put your money this year.
I would very much appreciate that. His name was...
His name is Ellis.
Ellis Boromar.
I'm sorry. I said something wrong.
No, whatever you said is canon now.
It sure
so
is.
You gotta change your shit.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Oh, you're right.
I've done that. And it's just like, well, that's the how way it's it going. Is now. Oops. I mean, I guess depending on what it is, you could maybe retcon it. But
it's canon now.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I would assume with my history check, I don't know a whole lot about the Boromar clan, like their organizational structure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you rolled a 19. So, you know, you have like a definitely like a deeper understanding as far as kind of what they're known for. You don't know how they work per se.
And like if there's like the family that's in charge and all that stuff.
So what you do know is that Ellis Boromar is not a name that you've heard before. There's a few like higher up people in the Boromar clan. There's like, you know, there's like somebody who sits on Sharn City Council. And you're like, you find that you're spacing on the name right now, but it's definitely not Ellis. They have like, yeah, they have, they're sort of like an inner circle. You're not familiar with it with, obviously you know the name Boromar, but you don't know Ellis.
And who might I be escorting this evening?
You see him like blink a couple times again, and then he goes, she's a young lady by the name of Liana Swift.
Wow. Really?
We all just start wringing our hands. Really?
Ooh. Coming together.
Well, I would be thrilled to escort her to her lodgings this evening.
Lovely. That takes quite the burden off my back, so to speak. But you see, she's a friend of the family, so it's important that whoever she is escorted by does indeed have ties to our operation.
Hmm. Interesting.
I may need a little bit more from you, but it's a favor that I'll call in later. How does that sound?
Sounds like you've got yourself a deal.
He puts out his hand.
I extend my hand again. I don't shake hands. It's my character flaw.
He says,
You can do the awkward just like grasp, you know, as they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if that's the case, I'll grasp his like two fingers and give them a wiggle.
Yeah. And it's weird because like you're holding two of his fingers, but his whole hand is like the size of two of your fingers. So it's like you're like pinching his little halfling.
That's uncomfortable, but yeah. Visually very entertaining.
Visually, it's super weird. Like, you guys are, the three of you are standing off in different parts of this bar, and you're all like, what the fuck is that?
Monty's just like, oh, this is really cringe, you guys.
Petey, stop making people simp for you.
Just go.
Sorry, Simp Army 2020.
Create a TikTok. God. Yeah.
Gravel sitting at the slipfish, like carving like D+G into the floorboards.
Dungeons so, and dragons and
doubles. Gnomes.
You. I'm one of those. Ellis is a halfling.
Yeah, so Ellis, it's a weird handshake, but you do shake in like this uncomfortable way. You shake hands with Ellis. So you now owe Ellis one favor. That he may call him later.
Shall we drink to it?
You read my mind, dear. And he lifts his glass. To new alliances.
To new alliances, I say as I slosh my martini glass around.
Dee Dee really strikes me as a mimosas kind of girl. Like, I'm surprised that at 11 a.m. she's not grabbing endless mimosas from Rupert.
Only martinis.
It's just impressive. I don't know.
She has a brand, dude. She's on brand.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's fair.
She's selling her brand. Pick Martinis is
brand ambassador.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If you actually taste it, the pink is from fish sauce.
It's shrimp.
Oh.
It's like Thai fish sauce.
It's just
plus grain alcohol.
Yeah, it's just pureed shrimp.
It's like spicy and fishy and super alcoholic.
It's the reason that flamingos are also pink.
Exactly.
Okay, so
no one's ever asked Dee Dee about the usual.
No. They just make it without question.
But it somehow strangely smells like fruit.
It smells like fruit, but it tastes like fish.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I'm from hell.
I hate this.
I'm from D&D hell. This is the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life.
Monty is just on the edge of yarfing every day.
Yeah. So you've been in Starlasker for what, two whole days?
I smoke all the time.
Because the trees are just fish paste and grain.
It's cleaner than the air, kid.
Okay, so you, Ellis gestures for you to sit down next to him and to continue, like, you know. To
I sit down next to him to continue entertaining, of course.
Yeah. What are the other three of you doing? Is this just uncomfortable affairs going on?
What is Amp still doing? I think probably at this point,
people have like hung their coats and jackets on him.
I don't know that there's much else.
Amp's just been staring unblinking.
Not much for me to do. Like, no one's writing reports or writing any articles. So I'm waiting for the boss to tell me what to do.
I'm watching the witch show, catching up with the brackets.
Okay, so you guys, you Dee Dee and Ellis, the two of you sort of shoot the shit for the next like half an hour or so.
Damn.
It's a common expression. You say you.
For a half an hour? That's an impressive conversation. That's all.
Yeah.
I like to think Dee Dee is a
conversationalist.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Like I could talk about anything.
Yeah.
And everything.
Meanwhile, I'm making an outline of
articles I've done. I got like plus 8 charisma. I can talk about fucking anything.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to take 10 on shooting the shit.
Yeah.
So you guys are kind of, you're just keeping an eye on things as, just keeping an eye out within this bar. As Ellis and Euphemia and Dee Dee are all having their conversation at this back corner. And then after...
I call Amp over so I could like start formatting.
Okay. I walk over and start like just emptying out cartridges and getting, like, things ready for Seltzer.
Anybody asks, it's like, oh, our place is blown up.
Yeah. Seltzer's like, Dee Dee DeVille in bed with the farmers?
Oh, yeah.
It's a sample script. They put that as like, if it's a light day.
Yeah.
Just a tank, one of our own.
Heidi from the big black cockatrice waiting under the bar.
You know, if it's a slow news day, we've got tons of backup, like red plan sort of like.
Like, I think my apartment is just plastered with headlines. It's like Dee Dee DeVille, secret space.
Exactly. Like we're just always ready for a tabloid paper, just in a if we need to.
You're trying to get the jump on the big black cockatrice. So. And like an hour goes by and you guys are just like conversing, talking about, you know, your column, talking about
it wears out after an hour.
Yes. So an hour goes by and all of a sudden you watch is like at the almost in perfect sync, Ellis and Euphemia's pupils like whoop shrink back to normal size and they shake their heads a little bit confused and they look at you and they say, and Euphemia in particular is, Miss DeVille, what are you doing here? What's... Oh, gosh, my head.
Too much alcohol.
Did you have a little too much to drink, darling? Mm. I have a solution for that as I start rising.
As you drink more.
So they don't remember any of what just happened?
No, they do remember it, but they do not know that they were charmed.
Okay, got it. So Euphemia and Ellis are both like, definitely disoriented, and you watch as it takes them a moment to like kind of regain their bearings, and then Ellis leans back in his chair, folds his arms, and says, "Well, I think I've had enough drinks for the morning. The missus will not be too pleased if she finds out what I've been up to. In any case, I think I'm going to make my way back to my hotel for a little while. Euphemia, would you like to join me?" And Euphemia, you see like just the faintest flash of like panic across her face. And she says, "Of course, let's go."
Why is this guy so gross and sketchy?
And the two of them stand up.
It's the life he lives, yeah.
And Ellis kind of gives you like a nod and says, "Miss DeVille, I'm looking forward to having conversations with you in the future."
"Of course."
And he and Euphemia make their way out of the bar. They do make their way, as a matter of fact.
Making my way out the bar. Walking fast a robot.
I tip my
head. Oh, we're dumb.
So the two of them are gone now. Do any of you try to follow them, or... You're just gonna
Monty will reconvene with, well, I guess he's closest to Dee Dee and just, you know, sit at the table.
I like to think as soon as they walk past, I just like turn, like swivel my chair around. And I'm right next to Monty because he's been like sitting like this the whole time.
Monty's like, you know that thing in TV shows where they hide underneath like the tablecloth on a cart and like being pushed around.
Bad, but I was underneath the tablecloth itself, so I just reveal myself.
Yeah.
Monty, two of those shrimp puffs, please. And then you've got to hear this.
I wish I had minor illusion. I message Rupert.
Okay.
I'm just like,
place your order.
Deanville really needs two shrimp puffs stat.
Oh, I was picturing them on the cart that you're hiding.
Oh,
there's like beer hot dogs. Or
no,
like,
that's like fine. If they're like within arm's reach, of course, Monty just like slaps plates of hors d'oeuvres onto the table. And it's just like, holy shit.
It's an imitation crab puff, but it's like close enough.
Shaped.
It's shaped like a shrimp puff.
Oh, don't fuck me over like that, Nat. Come on.
Rupert, you cheapskate.
Rupert shrugged at you. Oh, all the good stuff is upstairs.
Let's go upstairs. Hey. Aren't you following them? I mean,
did you want to follow them?
I'm going to go follow them.
Okay, I'm going with the boss.
Hey, how about you stay here? I'm just going to check this one out myself. Yeah,
okay. I go over to DD.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the three of you complete at this.
As I finish the last sentence. Okay. Good.
I go upstairs with Monty and Amp.
Yeah, you guys are all. Do you drop your disguise? Or no, you are.
I haven't been disguised. Yeah. But I'm going to grab a nearby messenger pigeon. What do we have? What's our cell phone?
So, great question. I was hoping that this would pop up. So, House DeCivis runs all, which Monty's a part of, runs all message stones and like message spells and things like that in across the continent of Corbear. So, Monty, unless you have a message spell,
I have the message spell. I don't have sending, and I don't have sending stones as part of my equipment. Mostly because they're extremely expensive and limited in their use, and also I assume that like my family treating me like a toddler when I got them in trouble, they like took away my sending stone.
Yeah,
I cast Sky Right.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
In this bar,
Alice Boromar in bed with
no, the black cockatrice. Ask Ritz for my money.
Ritz, bring me my money. It has clouds,
and it's got like DD with little hearts on it.
Do you actually do that?
No, I mean I want to get a hold of her and get my winnings, but
I mean, other than if you don't have like sending or message or anything like that, then the fastest way to do it would be to just go grab her yourself. Or you can, if you have Skyrite, like go nuts, but.
That's too much attention.
Do you actually have the Skyrite spell?
No. I have it, but it's not prepared.
I thought about taking it as JoJo in the Elsa Vale campaign, but I was just like, that's a little too silly.
It's so silly and so limited. But yes, I have it, and it's not prepared, so I can't cast it.
Okay. Yeah, the fastest way would be to either go yourself, or you could, like, grab someone in the bar and, like, toss them a coin and get them to go get Ritz
for
you.
Toss a coin to your Ritz?
Toss a coin to your Ritcher? Ritcher?
Rich.
No, she needs to toss coins to me.
Ritz, toss coins at me.
Yeah. Ritz, I'm going to pole dance for the next 45 minutes. Throw money at me.
Okay, let's get ourselves a little, like, tiny little, like, four-top barred top stool.
Get the real
stool.
Shrimp puffs.
Get real shrimp puffs.
Yeah, so the three of you are sitting at the top of this, on the rooftop. And from here, you can actually see the jousts. You can't really see the stands, but you can definitely hear, like, the roar of the crowd. And then when you see pairs of competitors rise into the sky, you can see them from here. It's small. You can see them.
Listen here, gentlemen.
Oh, I'm listening.
I think we've gotten inside with the Boromar clan.
I mean, I couldn't hear too much of it. How so?
Ellis Boromar asked me to do a job for him.
Doing what?
He wants me to escort Liana Swift to her hotel room.
Excuse?
Yes.
Wow.
I made quite the impression.
That's such gossip.
Excuse? What hot goss. So we're just going to look around, make sure like nobody is like too close. I'm just like, we're just going to like kidnap you on a sweat. That's what we're doing, right?
I mean, we could, absolutely. Or we could get higher up in the Boromar clan by completing this job and find out what all they have their little fingers into. As I raise both my eyebrows to you, clock in my head.
looking at you quizzically.
So what hotel or where are you escorting her to?
Did he give me all the details? Like, I'm actually doing that job.
Yeah, during your conversation, he did give you the details. So he and he, Euphemia, and eventually Liana will all be staying at the Bloomin' Onion Inn, which is a name I made up 2 sessions ago on the spot and is now canonical.
Disgusting.
I hate it. I hate myself, but I love where we're going with this. So
that's actually trademarked by Olive Garden. Or not Olive Garden.
Red Robin.
We're giving them free.
It's not Red Robin.
Outback Steakhouse.
Wait, really?
We can't. Yeah, so we need to censor all those names.
The beep beep in?
But it has to be like the ing. Like, so we censor everything except the, like, in.
All
so
right, give me a.
It's the in.
No, there's no way that's trademarked.
Bloomin' Onion is trademarked.
Give me a second. You never see it on any other, like, menu.
I'm going to wait for you to give me a non-trademarked name.
Specifically, it's Bloomin' apostrophe onion. So if you say Blooming Onion, that's we're true. Good.
You're going to make me fight my southern accent by not dropping the spot.
We're going to use the Blooming Gunion.
The Blooming Gunion. It's blue, B-L-U-E, M-E-E-N, G-U-N-Y-O-N.
Yeah.
We just call it the prolapse.
No. I like eating those, Kenny. Not prolapses, but blooming onions.
Not anymore.
But I can't eat one anymore. The fuck?
I've never actually had a blooming onion, so.
No, you won't.
I like how we're all saying blooming onion.
it's the blooming onion.
That's not the trademark version.
It's not the trademark version. Yeah, the blooming onion, mate. That is the trademark version.
Nat, what other information do you have?
Abex forecast when you hear your family.
So she should be arriving at 7 p.m. tonight. That's when her train will get in.
All right, I'm just going to say her...
Don't we have a date tonight?
Oh my god, now we have to choose between one or two.
Who are you going to disappoint?
We overbooked. Fuck. No, Dee Dee, we told Tim Tam we were going to meet at the Dapper's Garden tonight for dinner.
There's not for information on the Boromar clan?
Well, I guess we actually were thinking about being there with him and hoping that Liana Swift was gonna be there, so I guess
maybe she's going for a 7:15 dinner reservation.
I was gonna say maybe this works out. Maybe, I mean, it sucks to tell our boss, like,
oh, we're gonna
sorry
have to do, like, the thing where we're with our boss.
Oh no!
With Mark, no. Like across tables.
We
have to keep, like, switching over.
Are you telling me we're gonna have to Mrs. Doubtfire Tim Tam?
Doubtfire Tim Tam. Yes. Yes.
When you inevitably kill Liana Swift for no, like, an accident, we're also going to have to do, like,
she spills Chardonnay on me and I fucking
murder her.
Vicious mockery her into oblivion.
And you have to do, like, we're just gonna do all the 80s movies.
Okay.
I'm gonna do Weekend at Bernie's.
We're gonna do Die Hard.
When this all goes tits up and we have to escape from our boss tries to murder us.
We can Nakamura Tower the train station, because I'm sure it's real tall for no reason.
Sweet. It is the biggest building in town, mm-hmm. for sure. Like,
perfect.
Long time.
Got a lot of duck okay. work.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, we can just hit all the 80s classics. Are we gonna transform this campaign into, like, a sci-fi campaign?
It's steampunk.
Do a little bit of, like, a...
At the end of the campaign, we all just have our fists up and we walk away.
All of the... Look, we have lightning rails, okay? If they hit 88 miles per hour...
Wait, in the 80s, they had a lot of lightning rails.
Did they? Like, maglev trains and shit?
That was a cocaine joke.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. That's where I went, but...
Mike got it.
I'm too innocent. Okay.
All right, so...
All I needed was
Ellis. So Ellis told you, Dee Dee, that you need to pick... you need to pick Liana Swift up at the station at 7 p.m.
Okay.
She will be going to the Gold Dragon Inn, which you know... is run by the Mark of Hospitality Halflings. You also have your dinner reservation with Tim Tam at 6 or 6:30. I don't remember exactly what I said. I'm pretty sure I said 6.
If I didn't send you the audio for that, I can.
You did. I just need to listen to it. Wait, okay. I think you sent it, but I need to listen to it. But regardless, I'll go back and double check just to make sure. But 6. So I'm just going to say both that we...
Retcon, 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Tim Tam wants you to meet him at 6 o'clock. At Dapper's Garden.
Okay.
So... It's up to you guys to decide what you're going to do. I cast mirror image. All right. There are two DDs. Shit.
But they're like... They share your space, though. So it's just... Yeah, you can't send mirror image off to...
Far I do away. Have another disguise self.
So it's like it's like a little bit past lunchtime at this point. I mean, the three of you have gotten your your shrimp puffs. Meanwhile, Seltzer, you are trying to tail these two through the street. Where, like, I guess just give me a stealth check.
Sure.
Make me a strength working your way through the crowd check.
Yeah.
No, oh no.
What'd you get?
That was a natural one.
Yeah.
What's your total? Yeah. That matters. You don't crit fail on ability checks, technically, unless Nat desperately wants you to, because she's god of this realm.
No, I'm playing fair.
It's stealth?
What's that?
Oh, what is it?
It's stealth? A stealth. Okay. Yeah.
7.
7?
Yeah.
Yeah. So... And Seltzer, you walk out of this bar and you see Ellis kind of disappears pretty quickly into the crowd. He's a small dude. You can see Euphemia, the red of her jacket, pretty easily. And as you've got your eyes like locked on it and you just don't even notice when you trip.
Oh no.
Hey! And, I'm walking here, as I say to the cobblestone.
I was going to say, yeah.
That it's that tomato-nosed dude from earlier that you trip right into.
Motherfucker.
And he looks down at you and goes, can I help you?
Can I help you? You know where you're going?
You walked into me, asshole.
You're in my way.
Watch where you're going, and he shoves you.
Oh, you're going to wish you hadn't. But today's your lucky day. Because I'm too busy to deal with trash like you. Now get out of my way. It's like brush past him.
He's still yelling at you. You brush past him though, and you kind of you manage to put enough distance between the two of you pretty quickly. But Euphemia and Ellis are gone. In the time that it took for you to talk to this dude, they either rounded a corner or just straight up disappeared in the crowd. You don't know where they are.
As I look around, okay. I go back to the gang.
Okay.
The rumor among town is Rednose got in a fight with a goblin and lived to tell the tale. Insane.
Nuts.
Crazy. Whoa, Rednose, you're like a hero.
Yeah.
You're a level one, hero. Level you're not just a commoner NPC anymore.
You have all of 8 hit points.
He gained a level in fighter.
Okay. So you head back in. Yeah. And make your way upstairs. Fuck you.
Making your way upstairs, walking fast.
You drop up the stairs. It's just a good. It's a good.
It's a
like,
good. It's a good.
All right. So you head really upstairs. They let you. You know, Rupert's staff lets you by pretty quick. They recognize you, and yeah, you head up and join your staff at their table upstairs. Grab a shrimp puff.
How you guys doing? It's like gobble up. Shrimp puff.
Before we decide what we want to do tonight too, also there was something that I got from Euphemia when I was doing the mind probey like woo stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently she didn't recognize that it was me specifically probing her mind. When I did that and I was getting some info on Ellis from her, she said, oh shit, is that you, Ellis? I'm so sorry. So whatever we do moving forward with Ellis, we need to be really careful because he might be a spellcaster and he might know how to probe minds too.
Monty, are you a mind flayer? You legally have to tell me. Otherwise, it's entrapment.
These mutton chops are purely hair. I promise. They're not tentacles.
I like reach over.
You can, if you want to. They're very sensitive. Ow.
Okay. Hey, Dee Dee. You know what? What,
what munchops are for mammals? Tentacles. That's how they feel around the world.
A light breeze.
Seltzer, are you not a mammal?
Are goblins not mammals?
Yeah.
No. I looked at Seltzer. Seltzer, are you not a mammal?
Yeah, we're mammals.
Jesus, what? No, seriously though, like, let's be careful around Ellis. If he's actual Boromar, main family Boromar, and he's got like psychic magic, like we have to be
exceptionally careful.
Exactly.
So that's why we should get another round. All right.
The plan of what do we want to do for dinner tomorrow? If I don't show up, that's my perfectly toned behind on the line.
We've got to make some serious plans for tonight.
Tonight.
Oh, tonight. Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Tonight!
We have.
Knock back my last.
We have up to 6 hours to make a plan of action.
You have, it's like 1 o'clock. You have like 5 hours.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what time it is.
I said it was like one, didn't I?
You said after lunch.
Amp, what is that on your leg as I look at the like loogie stain?
Oh, no, this is our kill. We spend the next 6 hours murdering.
We're gonna yes.
We're like, you know, guys, we're really gonna plan this out. Also,
we need to practice the plan first.
No, actually, realistically, if I'm gonna go do espionage, I need to sleep. I need my beauty sleep.
Man, I should probably also do.
Sick of finding a wife and kid. Yeah.
Go check up on them.
Wait, like, if you don't hear from me,
It's because I got a little work.
Oh God, is it going to be a solo run for me? No. Give me amp, and we'll go. Wait, she's seen amp.
Yeah,
everybody's like going to fight over amp because he's the only tank.
It's going to be your monster.
Cool. I'll sign us out real quick, and then we'll figure out as we're heading up. How this is gonna work. Okay. Thank you very much for listening to Matt Eberron Schmerzkoop Bird something something dice. Brent, don't shake it. I'm the god of this world! In my Eberron, that's what it's fucking called!
Yeah, we're at the bar and we're like, yeah, can I order the Schmerzkoop Bird?
What's the password? Okay. Schmerzkoop. Thanks for listening. I'm a disappointment. See you next week.
Wow.
What?
What's up? Brad Bishop here. Just wanted to say thanks so much for listening to our podcast that is fresh off the train, as it were. It means the world to me and the rest of the crew for you to give us a listen. If you like what you hear, let us know what you think by doing the rate, like, subscribe nonsense on iTunes or wherever you're listening to us. Those early positive points will do wonders for getting the show in front of as many people as possible. If you want updates on when we'll be posting episodes, what campaigns are coming up, stuff about the cast, artwork, memes, etc., follow us on Instagram, if that's your thing, at Facets of Fate Podcast. Give that next episode a listen. Tell us what you think. Later, nerds.